A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corn. So this podcast involves several moving parts as part of our generation process. We use Modal for serverless GPU, which is a absolute Trojan platform for which we have recommended on countless occasions and generously have given us a significant amount of free credits to help with the generation. And we appreciate their support. And we also use Vercel for deploying the website. Now, this is a self-hosted podcast operation, which I designed it like this very deliberately because it's the type of privacy-first architecture that we so frequently recommend. And we eat our own dog food, as the saying goes. And Vercel is just great. It took me a long time to warm to the world of serverless and get past the initial impression, I think, that many people have, which is, why not just use WordPress? This seems so complicated. The back end, the front end, the deployment process. But over time, I've really begun to see its benefits in decoupling your content and how you serve that content. And Vercel is a very AI-first platform. It just made a bunch of sense. So that's what we actually deploy. The production pipeline triggers a new build, a deploy hook. And then we deploy the website after the new episode gets injected into our database using Neon. I'm probably giving too much detail about our everything we use, but Neon is great as well, serverless Postgres. And then that updates finally. This is the last layer, the XML feed, which is what the podcast, every podcast syndicator pulls from. So within a few minutes, Spotify and the others get notified and the episode appears in the feed. And that all works automatically. It's almost like magic. It's just automation, but it's a cool production pipeline. Now, something I've been thinking about lately, or just doing my tinkering with the pipeline, as I mentioned, I do every few weeks, is I'll often notice that, I'll send in three or four prompts in a batch. That's kind of how I tend to send them. I just have a few ideas in close succession. Our wall time for generation of episodes is in the region of 20 minutes. And often what you'll see is the four episodes I might send will finish TTS within a few minutes of one another, hit the deploy hook, and you'll get about four concurrent build processes. Now, there kind of is a sort of a way to work around this in Vercel, but it's not the ideal mechanism. So what I'd like to talk about, that's all the context about why it's relevant to this particular production pipeline, is the concept of debouncing, server-side caching, and build optimization. The front-end project for this website, My Word Prompts, isn't huge. It's we have one page per episode, but it always seems a bit silly to me that if all we're doing between builds is adding a single new page to the website and adding a single row to the XML feed, that we're going to literally, and you know, I'm watching the logs in Vercel, you're building the whole site afresh every time. That clearly doesn't make sense. And also, if you're optimizing, you want to speed up the builds, which if you want to get something out quickly, there's a lot of reason to do that. Vercel, etc., lets you use faster build machines. But you're going to pay more per second for those. And if you're doing unnecessary builds all the time, what I've seen is you're going to spend a lot more than you need to, and you're not really getting the benefit from those faster machines because 3/4 of their usage is redundant. So let's talk about two separate things, or three things really, that I think can all be bucketed under doing serverless deployments more intelligently. The first of these is implementing what I mentioned, a debouncing mechanism. I like to think of it more like a waiting room in which the door opens once every 15 minutes and whatever is new hops in, and we use the latest commit we build from that. The second is the server-side caching I mentioned. I'm always reluctant to use any form of caching because The amount of development effort, the amount of times that caching has resulted in me pulling out clumps of my hair is not insignificant. So many things go wrong and you eventually say, oh, it's just cached. So it's one thing I'm reluctant to use, but I accept this might be a logical use case for it. And I think that's about it, to get people more informed about using those faster build times. Even if you're just using one environment like we are, we're not using preview. We only use it occasionally to test new design changes. But for our staple process of new episode publication, it really is fully automated. I send in this prompt and a voice note. I upload it using a web form. That goes through Modal, runs through the whole production pipeline, and then hits a deploy hook. That hits Vercel. So it's a true end-to-end automation. That's the pipeline in a nutshell. Anyway, let's talk about serverless deploy optimization in today's episode. Over to you.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's actually a two-layer prompt. The surface layer is about debouncing, caching, and build optimization for serverless deployments. But the real question underneath is, when you've built a genuinely elegant end-to-end automation pipeline, how do you stop it from doing redundant work that burns money and slows everything down? And honestly, this matters because I think a lot of people are running pipelines that are 70% waste, and they don't even know it.
The waste ratio is what gets me. You're watching these build logs and thinking, we changed one row in a database and we're rebuilding 400 pages. That's not just inefficient. It's the deployment equivalent of demolishing and rebuilding your entire house because you wanted to swap out a light fixture.
The house demolition analogy is right, and the prompt lays out a specific setup. Modal for the serverless GPU generation, Neon for the serverless Postgres database, Vercel handling deployment, and then the X, MLL. Feed that syndicates out to Spotify and all the others. When a batch of episodes finishes text-to-speech within a few minutes of each other, you get four concurrent builds kicking off, each one rebuilding the entire site from scratch.
That's the thing. The prompt mentions wall time for generation is around 20 minutes per episode. So if you send four prompts in a batch, you've got four episodes finishing TTS within a few minutes of one another. Each one hits the deploy hook. Vercel spins up four concurrent builds. And each build is doing the exact same full site rebuild, just with one additional page. Three of those builds are effectively obsolete before they even finish.
The prompt frames this as three separate but related problems. First, implementing a debouncing mechanism. A waiting room where the door opens once every 15 minutes and whatever's new hops in. Second, server-side caching, which the prompt admits comes with some hair-pulling baggage. And third, the broader question of whether faster build machines are even worth it if three-quarters of their cycles are redundant.
Let's start with the debouncing piece, because I think that's where the most immediate win is. The concept is straightforward. Instead of triggering a new build every time the deploy hook fires, you introduce a cooldown window. The first hook call starts a timer. Any subsequent calls within that window get queued. When the timer expires, you build once from the latest state.
The prompt specifically describes it as a 15-minute window, which makes sense given the batch pattern. Four episodes finishing within a few minutes of each other. With a 15-minute debounce, those four deploy hook triggers collapse into a single build. You go from four full-site rebuilds to one.
And this isn't some exotic pattern. Vercel itself has the concept of deployment skipping built in. You can use the skipt property in your project settings, or return a specific exit code from your build command to cancel a deployment entirely. But that's more of a Boolean gate. What the prompt is describing is more like a throttle with a rolling window.
The waiting room metaphor is actually useful here. Think of it like a bouncer at a club who only opens the door every 15 minutes. Everyone who's arrived in the meantime gets let in together. Nobody gets turned away, nobody gets duplicate entry. You just batch the arrivals.
Implementing this is not particularly complicated. One approach is to use a lightweight key value store, something like Vercel KV, or even just a small table in the existing Neon database, to track the last deployment timestamp. When the deploy hook fires, your serverless function checks that timestamp. If it's been less than 15 minutes since the last build, you queue the request and return. If the window has elapsed, you proceed and update the timestamp.
The prompt mentions that Vercel does have some mechanism for this, but describes it as not the ideal mechanism. I think what that's referring to is that Versal's built-in concurrency controls and deployment skipping are designed more for preventing preview deployments from cluttering things up than for batching production deployments intelligently. You can set a project to allow only one production deployment at a time, which helps a bit, but it doesn't give you the 15-minute batching window.
The key distinction is between serialization and debouncing. Vercel's concurrency controls serialize. They make builds run one after another. Debouncing collapses multiple triggers into a single action. Serialization with four episodes means you still get four builds. They just happen sequentially. Debouncing with the 15-minute window means you get one build that includes all four episodes.
Which brings us to the cost question. The prompt mentions that Vercel lets you use faster build machines, but you pay more per second for those. If you're doing unnecessary builds, you're spending more than you need to and not getting the benefit because 3/4 of the usage is redundant. That's structural waste baked into the pipeline design.
Let me put some numbers around this. A standard Vercel build on the hobby plan might take, say, 2 to 3 minutes for a site with a few hundred pages. If you're triggering four concurrent builds, that's 8 to 12 build minutes of compute. With debouncing, you're down to 2 to 3 build minutes. That's a 75% reduction in build compute just from adding a 15-minute throttle.
The prompt frames this as a question of intelligence. Doing serverless deployments more intelligently, not necessarily more complex, not necessarily with more tooling, but with more awareness of what work actually needs to be done. The debouncing isn't clever technology. It's just not doing work you don't need to do.
Which is a principle that applies far beyond this specific pipeline. I keep seeing teams set up webhook-driven deployments where every content change triggers a full rebuild, and they never stop to ask whether 10 changes in an hour really need 10 separate builds. The answer is almost always no. Your users don't need subminute deployment latency for a podcast feed update.
The podcast feed is actually the perfect example. Spotify and Apple Podcasts and the others aren't polling your RSS feed every 30 seconds. Most podcast directories check feeds every few hours at most. A 15-minute delay between episode completion and site deployment is completely invisible to listeners. Even if someone is refreshing the website constantly, which, let's be honest, is probably just us, a 15-minute window is still well within reasonable expectations.
Alright, so debouncing is the first piece. The second piece the prompt raises is server-side caching. And this is where it gets interesting, because the prompt is explicitly reluctant about caching. The exact sentiment is something like, I'm always reluctant to use caching because the amount of development effort and the number of times caching has resulted in me pulling out clumps of my hair is not insignificant.
That's a completely fair position. Caching is one of those things that works beautifully until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, the debugging experience is miserable. You change something, nothing happens. You spend 45 minutes trying to figure out why, and then you remember. It's cached. It's the software equivalent of a prank that your past self played on your future self. But the prompt also acknowledges this might be a logical use case for caching, and I think that's right. The key is being surgical about what you cache and how you invalidate.
Let's think about what's actually happening during one of these builds. You've got a static site generator, probably something like Next.js or Astro, and it's generating a page for every episode. For a podcast with over 2,000 episodes, that's a lot of pages. But here's the thing. Episode 200 from 2 years ago? That page hasn't changed. Its content is static. Rebuilding it every single time is pure waste.
This is where incremental static regeneration comes in. Vercel and Next.js have supported ISR for years now. The idea is that you build a page once, serve it from the cache, and only regenerate it when the underlying data changes or when a specified revalidation period expires.
For a podcast website, the revalidation strategy is almost trivially simple. Individual episode pages can be cached indefinitely. They're immutable once published. The episode listing page, the index, the RSS feed. Those need to update when new episodes are added. But even those could be cached with a short revalidation window, like 60 seconds or 5 minutes.
The prompt mentions that the front-end project isn't huge. One page per episode. So we're not talking about a massive site with complex data dependencies. It's a collection of static pages with a few dynamic surfaces. That's the ideal use case for caching, because the invalidation logic is straightforward.
Let me get specific about the architecture. JS on Vercel, you can use getStaticProps with a DevValidate property. Set the individual episode pages to never revalidate or to revalidate on a very long timer, like once a week. Set the index page and the RSS feed to revalidate every 60 seconds. When a new episode is added, the next request to the index page or the feed after the revalidation window triggers a regeneration that pulls in the new data.
The beautiful thing is that this doesn't require a deploy hook at all for the content updates. The site regenerates itself on demand, pulling fresh data from the database. The deploy hook is only needed for actual code changes, design updates, new features, structural changes to the site. This decouples content updates from code deployments. Right now, the pipeline conflates the two. Adding a new episode triggers a full deployment as if the site code had changed. But adding an episode is a content update, not a code change. ISR lets you treat them differently.
The prompt mentions being reluctant about caching because of past hair-pulling experiences. I think the distinction to draw here is between application-level caching, where you're caching, APIP, responses or database queries with complex invalidation logic, and content-level caching with ISR, where the invalidation is essentially time-based and the data is naturally immutable after publication. The horror stories about caching almost always come from the application-level stuff. An episode page for a podcast that was published 3 weeks ago? There's no state change to detect. The content is what it is. The only invalidation that needs to happen is for the surfaces that aggregate new content, the index, the feed, and those can be time-based.
Time-based invalidation is the simplest possible caching strategy. You don't need to detect events. You don't need to wire up webhooks to clear caches. You don't need a distributed invalidation protocol. You just say, after 60 seconds, check if there's new content. That's it.
We've got debouncing handling the redundant build problem, and we've got ISR handling the redundant page generation problem. The third thing the prompt gestures at is the question of faster build machines versus smarter build strategies. And I think the point is that faster machines are a brute force solution to a problem that's better solved with intelligence.
This is a pattern I see everywhere in software. When something is slow, the first instinct is to throw more hardware at it. Faster CPUs, more memory, higher tier build machines. And sometimes that's the right call. But often, the better approach is to ask why you're doing so much work in the first place. If 3/4 of your build usage is redundant, you're not really getting the benefit from those faster machines. You're just burning through your build, minutes faster. A faster machine doing unnecessary work is still doing unnecessary work.
There's a concept in manufacturing called lean production, and the core idea is eliminating waste. Any activity that consumes resources without creating value. Rebuilding a page that hasn't changed is the software equivalent of waste. Faster build machines don't eliminate that waste, they just process it more quickly.
Which brings us to the broader architectural question. The prompt describes this as a self-hosted, privacy-first operation, deliberately designed that way because it's the architecture the hosts frequently recommend. We eat our own dog food. And the initial skepticism was, why not just use WordPress? This seems so complicated. The back end, the front end, the deployment process.
That's a real tension. WordPress handles a lot of this for you. New post, publish, it's live. No build step, no deploy hook, no serverless functions orchestrating things. The trade-off is that you're running a monolithic PHP. Application with a database, plugins, themes, and a fairly large attack surface. The static site plus serverless approach is more complex to set up, but it's simpler to reason about once it's running.
The prompt says the initial impression was that serverless seemed overly complicated compared to WordPress, but over time the benefits became clear, specifically around decoupling content from how you serve that content. And that decoupling is exactly what enables the optimizations we're talking about. With WordPress, content and serving are tightly coupled in the monolith. With a static site and serverless database, you can optimize each layer independently.
Vercel, as a platform, has been pushing hard in this direction. They describe themselves as AI first now, which makes sense given the direction the industry is moving. But the underlying architecture, edge functions, serverless databases, static generation with ISR, that's not specific to AI. It's just good infrastructure design.
The prompt mentions that Neon, the serverless Postgres provider, is part of this stack. Serverless Postgres changes how you think about database connections. Traditional Postgres has connection limits and long-lived connections. Serverless Postgres uses a connection pooler and scales down to zero when idle. For a podcast website that gets periodic traffic spikes when new episodes drop, that's a much better fit than running a persistent database instance.
Neon specifically uses a compute storage separation architecture. Your data lives in object storage, and compute nodes spin up on demand to serve queries. When there's no traffic, there's no compute running. When a new episode publishes and listeners start hitting the site, compute scales up automatically. You're not paying for an idle database.
The full picture is, Modal handles the GP. U-intensive generation work. Neon handles the database layer with serverless scaling. Versal handles the front-end deployment with edge caching and ISR, and the whole thing is stitched together with deploy hooks and serverless functions. It's a modern stack, and the debouncing and caching optimizations are about making that modern stack efficient, rather than just modern. There's a difference between using cool technology and using it well.
Let's talk about implementation specifics for the debouncing mechanism, because I think that's the part the prompt is most interested in. How do you actually build the 15-minute waiting room?
I'd implement it as a serverless function that sits between the modal production pipeline and the Versal deploy hook. When an episode finishes TTS, instead of calling the deploy hook directly, it calls this debounce function. The function checks a timestamp in the database, last deployment time. If the current time minus that timestamp is greater than 15 minutes, it proceeds, updates the timestamp to now, and calls the deploy hook. If it's less than 15 minutes, it does nothing, just returns.
There's a subtlety here. If the function does nothing, how does the deployment actually happen? The episodes that arrive during the waiting period still need to be deployed eventually. There are two approaches. One is to have the debounce function always update a pending deployment flag in the database, and then have a separate scheduled function, a cron job that runs every 15 minutes, checks the flag, and triggers the deploy hook if needed. The other approach is to use the first trigger as the timer starter, but have it schedule a delayed deployment using something like a serverless queue with a 15-minute delay.
The cron approach feels simpler to reason about. You've got a scheduled function that runs every 15 minutes. It checks whether there are any episodes with a pending deployment status. If yes, it triggers the deploy hook and clears the flags. The individual episode completion events just set the flag and move on. This has the nice property that the deployment cadence is predictable. You know exactly when builds will happen, every 15 minutes on the clock. The maximum delay is 15 minutes, and the number of builds per hour is capped at 4.
Versal's cron jobs feature supports this natively. You can define a cron schedule in your project configuration and point it at a serverless function. That function checks the database for pending deployments and calls the deploy hook if needed. It's maybe 20 lines of code. The alternative, using a queue with a delay, is more event-driven and can be slightly more responsive. But for a podcast pipeline where 15-minute latency is perfectly acceptable, I'd go with cron.
The cron approach also makes it trivial to adjust the window. Want to batch deployments every 30 minutes instead of 15? Change one number in the cron schedule. Want to deploy immediately if a certain number of episodes are pending, regardless of the timer. Add a count check to the cron function.
This is where the debouncing connects back to the caching question. If you implement ISR properly, the deploy hook becomes less critical for content updates. The site can pick up new content on its own through revalidation. The deploy hook is really only needed for structural changes, new page templates, design updates, that kind of thing.
Which means you could potentially eliminate the deploy hook for routine episode publications entirely. The pipeline adds the new episode to the database, the ISR revalidation picks it up on the next request, and the site updates without a build. You've gone from 4 concurrent full site rebuilds per batch of episodes to 0 builds. The content just appears.
This is where the Versal is an AI-first platform, comment in the prompt connects. The direction Versal has been moving is toward this kind of architecture, where content and data flow through the system without explicit deployment steps, where regeneration happens automatically based on data changes rather than build triggers. The old model is content change equals deployment. The new model is content change equals data update, and the serving layer reacts to data changes. The deployment step is for code, not content.
Let's talk about the caching hair-pulling concern more directly, because I think it's legitimate and worth addressing head-on. What are the actual failure modes with ISR for a podcast site, and how do you mitigate them?
The main failure mode is stale content. You publish a new episode, the database has it, but the cached index page doesn't show it because the revalidation hasn't triggered yet. With a 60-second revalidation window, the worst case is that a listener hits the site 59 seconds after publication and doesn't see the new episode. They refresh a second later, and it's there. For a podcast, that's completely fine. This isn't a stock ticker or a breaking news site where seconds matter.
The other failure mode is more subtle. What happens if the revalidation itself fails? The database is down, or the query times out? In that case, ISR serves the stale cached version rather than showing an error. For a podcast site, that's actually the right behavior. It's better to show a slightly outdated episode list than an error page. This is where ISR's stale while revalidate pattern shines. The cached content is always available as a fallback. If regeneration fails, users still see a working site.
Compare that to a full rebuild deployment. If the build fails, maybe a dependency is broken. Maybe the database connection drops mid-build. Your site is in whatever state the last successful build left it in. If the build partially succeeded and then failed, you might have an inconsistent state. ISR is more resilient because it operates at the page level rather than the site level.
The prompt mentions that the podcast has a preview environment for testing design changes, but the staple publication process is fully automated end-to-end. With ISR, that automation becomes simpler because there are fewer moving parts. The pipeline is upload audio, run through modal for generation, insert into Neon, done. The site updates itself. No deploy hook, no build process, no waiting for Vercel to spin up build containers. You can still use the deploy hook for the preview environment when you're testing design changes and want a full build, but for routine content publication, ISR handles it.
Let's circle back to something the prompt mentions that I think is important, the XML feed. Every podcast syndicator pulls from the RSS feed. Within a few minutes of the feed updating, Spotify and the others get notified and the episode appears. The prompt describes this as almost like magic, just automation. The feed is the critical piece because that's what the podcast directories actually consume. Listeners might visit the website, but the vast majority will get the episode through their podcast app, which gets it from the feed.
With ISR, the feed is just another page that gets regenerated on a revalidation schedule. You set the feed's revalidation to something short, 60 seconds or even less, and it picks up new episodes automatically. The podcast directories pull the feed on their own schedules, which are typically every few hours, so even a 5-minute delay in the feed updating is totally fine.
Here's a nice optimization. You can set different revalidation periods for different pages. The feed might revalidate every 60 seconds because you want new episodes to appear quickly for directory polling. The episode listing page might revalidate every 5 minutes because human visitors aren't refreshing that aggressively. Individual episode pages might revalidate once a week because they're immutable. You tune the caching to the access pattern.
This is the kind of optimization that's satisfying. Not because it's clever, but because it aligns the system's behavior with how the content is actually consumed. The feed is machine-readable and pulled periodically, so frequent revalidation matters. The episode pages are human-readable and rarely change, so aggressive caching is fine.
The cost implications are real. Every revalidation is a serverless function invocation. If you're revalidating 2,000 episode pages every 60 seconds, you're burning function invocations for no reason. Set those pages to revalidate once a week, and you've eliminated millions of unnecessary function calls per month.
The prompt mentions that the website isn't huge, one page per episode. But with over 2,000 episodes, that's over 2,000 pages. Rebuilding all of them for every deployment is doing work proportional to the entire history of the podcast, not proportional to what actually changed. ISR makes the work proportional to the change. At episode 5000, a full rebuild takes more than twice as long as it does at episode 2000. With ISR, adding episode 5001 takes the same amount of work as adding episode 2001. You generate one new page and revalidate a handful of index pages. The cost of adding content is constant, not linear with the archive size.
That's the architectural win. Constant time content addition regardless of archive size.
Let me address one more thing about the debouncing. The prompt mentions that Versal does have some mechanism for handling concurrent builds, but it's not ideal. I think what's being referred to is Versal's concurrency setting, which you can set to 1 to prevent multiple builds from running simultaneously. But as we discussed, that serializes builds rather than batching them. You still get 4 builds, they just run one after another, and serialization has its own problems. If each build takes 3 minutes and you have 4 queued up, the last build finishes 12 minutes after the first one started. If there's a build failure somewhere in the queue, everything behind it is delayed. Debouncing avoids this entirely by collapsing the queue into a single build.
There's also Versal's ignored builds feature, where you can return a specific exit code from your build command to skip the deployment. You could use this to check whether there's actually new content and skip the build if there isn't. But that still requires starting a build container and running the check, which consumes build minutes. It's better than doing a full build, but not as good as not starting the build at all. The debounce approach prevents the build from being triggered in the first place. That's the key. You're not optimizing the build, you're avoiding unnecessary builds entirely.
That's really the thesis of this whole discussion. Serverless deployments done intelligently means asking, at each step, whether work actually needs to happen. Does this build need to run? Does this page need to be regenerated? Does this function need to be invoked? If the answer is no, don't do the work.
The prompt describes this as a production pipeline that was designed very deliberately as a privacy-first architecture, eating their own dog food. And I think the debouncing and caching optimizations are a natural extension of that deliberateness. It's not just about choosing the right platforms, Modal, Neon, Versal, but about using them in a way that respects the economics and the physics of the system. Serverless pricing is consumption-based. You pay for what you use. If you're using 4 times as much compute as you need because of redundant builds, you're paying 4 times as much. That's not a platform problem. That's a usage pattern problem.
The prompt specifically calls out that faster build machines cost more per second. So if you upgrade to faster machines without fixing the redundancy problem, you're actually increasing your waste rate. You're burning more expensive compute on unnecessary work. The optimization sequence should be, first, eliminate unnecessary work through debouncing and caching. Then, once you're only doing necessary work, consider whether faster machines are worth it for the remaining workload. Most people do it backwards. They upgrade to faster machines first, and then wonder why their bill went up without a corresponding improvement in deployment speed.
Because the deployment speed wasn't limited by the machine speed. It was limited by the fact that the machine was doing 4 times as much work as it needed to. It's like trying to make your commute faster by buying a faster car while still taking a route that's 3 times as long as necessary. Fix the route first, then worry about the car.
To synthesize what we've covered, debouncing the deploy hook with a 15-minute window eliminates redundant builds. Incremental static regeneration eliminates redundant page generation. Together, they transform the pipeline from one that rebuilds the entire site for every episode to one that only does work proportional to what actually changed.
The implementation is not particularly complex. The debouncing can be a cron job that checks for pending deployments every 15 minutes. The ISR is a configuration change in the next.js project, set revalidation periods on your page components, and let the platform handle the rest. The prompt's reluctance about caching is well-founded in general, but for this specific use case, immutable content pages with a small number of dynamic index surfaces, the caching logic is simple enough that it shouldn't cause hair-pulling. Time-based invalidation with stale, while revalidate fallback is about as safe as caching gets.
If something does go wrong, the fix is straightforward. You can trigger a full redeployment manually from the Versal dashboard or via the CLI. That clears all caches and rebuilds everything from scratch. It's the nuclear option, but it's always available if the caching layer gets into a weird state, which it almost certainly won't, because the invalidation logic is, if the page is older than X seconds, check for new data. There's no complex dependency graph to maintain, no cache keys to manage, no distributed invalidation to coordinate.
Let's talk about one more thing. The prompt gestures at the idea that this is a fully automated end-to-end pipeline. The prompt is sent as a voice note, uploaded through a web form, goes through Modal for generation, runs through the production pipeline, and then hits the deploy hook. With the optimizations we're discussing, the deploy hook piece becomes either batched or eliminated entirely. The automation becomes cleaner.
Fewer steps, fewer failure points. Every time you remove a step from an automated pipeline, you remove a thing that can break. The deploy hook is a step that can fail. Network errors, authentication issues, build failures. If ISR handles content updates, that step goes away for routine publications, and the pipeline becomes more observable. Right now, if something goes wrong, you have to check. Did the generation succeed? Did the database insert succeed? Did the deploy hook fire? Did the build succeed? Did the feed update? With ISR, the chain is shorter. Generation, database insert, done. The serving layer updates itself.
There's a nice parallelism here with the broader trend in web architecture. We've been moving from server-rendered monoliths to static sites with client-side hydration to serverless functions with edge caching. Each step decouples more pieces and makes the system more resilient to partial failures. And Vercel has been at the center of that trend. They started as a static hosting platform, added serverless functions, added ISR, added edge middleware, added serverless databases through partnerships. The platform has grown in the direction of making these patterns the default rather than the exception.
The prompt mentions that it took a long time to warm to the world of serverless and get past the initial impression that it seemed overly complicated compared to WordPress. I think that's a common journey. The initial complexity is real. You have to understand build steps, deployment, edge caching, serverless functions. But once you internalize the model, the benefits in terms of decoupling, scalability, and cost efficiency become clear. And the debouncing and caching optimizations are part of that maturation process. First, you learn to use the tools. Then you learn to use them well. Then you learn to use them efficiently. This episode is about that third stage.
All right, I think we've given this a thorough treatment. Debouncing as a waiting room with a 15-minute door. ISR as the caching strategy that won't make you pull your hair out. And the broader point that intelligent deployment is about eliminating unnecessary work before you reach for faster machines.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Maison Creek fossil beds in Illinois are famous for preserving soft-bodied organisms like the Tully Monster inside ironstone concretions, essentially nature's way of shrink, wrapping a creature in rock. But what makes them truly weird is that many of these fossils form specifically because the organisms were buried so quickly in an ancient river delta that their soft tissues had time to mineralize before decay could set in, a process that requires mud to harden around the body within hours to days of death.
Nature shrink wrap. I appreciate the commitment to detail, Hilbert.
So here's the forward-looking thought I want to leave listeners with. The optimizations we've discussed, debouncing, incremental static regeneration, aligning work with actual change. These aren't specific to podcast pipelines or Vercel or Next. They're patterns that apply anywhere you have a system that rebuilds or recomputes on every change. The question to ask is always, does this work need to happen right now, or can it wait until there's more to do? Asking that question well is what separates a pipeline that burns money from one that hums along efficiently. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at My Weird Prompts.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear host. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.